Hello, everyone. Welcome to another in a series of essays that we're publishing for my upcoming book, which we expect to be published sometime in 2023. As you know, we've been creating written and audio versions of these essays for your pleasure, and this is the latest one. This one is called Slaying the Tarantula. Is Nationalism the Antidote to Leftist Tyranny? As always, the essay begins with a quotation. This time it's from the eminent economist and intellectual American Dr. Thomas Sowell, who's part of the Hoover Institute at Stanford. And he wrote this: "The vision of the left, full of envy and resentment, takes its worst toll on those at the bottom, whether black or white, who find in that paranoid vision an excuse for counterproductive and untimely self-destructive attitudes and behavior," end quote. The main goal of the left in any discourse is first to shake out their faux moral high ground. Regardless of the issue or discussion or how absurd their arguments are, it is pivotal for them to assert the claim of unassailable virtue. From that perch, like a great poisonous spider, they project sanctimonious venom, condemning the inherent evils of all recalcitrants and their conspiratorial views. It is equally essential to realize that leftists do not actually care about any of their championed people or causes. Once these aggrieved groups or special interests are no longer useful, then they are unceremoniously cast aside. Leftists are first and foremost hypocrites. Their alleged concerns are but a veneer from behind which they shamelessly exploit suffering of others, which they cause, as political currency. Put simply, if the left did not employ double standard, it would have no standard at all. From COVID-19 to climate hysteria and radical gender ideology, race baiting, cries on behalf of minorities, the radical feminist agenda, or insistence upon distributive justice for the poor and underprivileged, the cause of today is contradicted by their behavior tomorrow. Leftists only care whether such realignments and treachery advance their political agendas and personal fortunes, which are their sole motivations. Anyone or anything in their path must be ideologically annihilated. Our conservative institutions must be persistently attacked so that leftists can denigrate them and claim their own postmodern positions as morally superior. They reflexively resort to their routine playbook in a manner which is patently obvious to any astute observer, but which has nonetheless proven to be reliably successful. In this way, their actions become entirely predictable, making them vulnerable to exposure once the person on the street awakens to their game. Consequently, leftists turn to censorship in the name of ending hatred and divisiveness, which they declare selectively. But their true aim is to ostracize and silence all of their political and ideological opponents. This pattern has become transparent once again with the dramatic rise of derision directed at white supremacy and Christian nationalism. Of course, the leftists, such terms relate neither to race or to religion. They are instead leveled as pejorative accusations, their real objects being God-fearing Canadians of any ethnicity. In his seminal thesis, Also Sprach Zarathustra, Friedrich Nietzsche set out his parable of the tarantula, describing how the left comes in the name of justice and equality to suck the lifeblood of the weak and impotent, bloating itself upon the suffering of those vulnerable souls whose causes they only appear to champion. Here's the quotation. "Lo, this is the tarantula's den. Wouldst thou see the tarantula itself? Here hangeth its web. Touch this, so that it may tremble. There cometh the tarantula willingly. Welcome, tarantula. Black on thy back is thy triangle and symbol, and I know also what is in thy soul. Revenge is in thy soul. Wherever thou bitest, there ariseth black scab. With revenge, thy poison maketh the soul giddy. Thus do I speak unto you in parable, ye who make the soul giddy, ye preachers of equality. Tarantulas are ye unto me, and secretly revengeful ones. But I will soon bring your hiding faces to the light. Therefore do I laugh in your face, my laughter of the height. Therefore do I tear at your web, that your rage may lure you out of your den of lies, and that your revenge may leap forth from behind your word, justice. Because for man to be redeemed from revenge, that is for me the bridge to the highest hope, and a rainbow after long storms. Otherwise, however, would the tarantulas have it? Let it be very justice for the world to become full of the storms of our vengeance. Thus do they talk to one another. Vengeance we will use and insult against all who are not like us. Thus do the tarantula hearts pledge themselves and will to equality, that itself shall henceforth be the name of virtue. And against all that hath power will we raise an outcry. Ye preachers of equality, the tyrant frenzy of impotence crieth thus in you for equality. Your most tyrant longings disguise themselves thus in virtue words. Fret, conceited, and suppressed envy, perhaps your father's conceited envy, in you break they forth as flame and frenzy of vengeance. What the father hath hid cometh out in the son, and oft have I found in the son the father's revealed secret. Inspired ones they resemble, but it is not the heart that inspireth them, but vengeance. And when they become subtle and cold, it is not spirit, but envy that maketh them so. Their jealousy leadeth them also into thinkers' paths, and this is the sign of their jealousy. They always go too far, so that their fatigue hath at last to go to sleep on the snow. In all their lamentations soundeth vengeance, and all their eulogies is maleficence, and being judge seemeth to them bliss. But thus do I counsel you, my friends, distrust all in whom the impulse to punish is powerful. They are people of bad race and lineage. Out of their countenances peer the hangman and the sleuth-hound. Distrust all those who talk much of their justice. Verily, in their souls not only honey is lacking. When they call themselves the good and just, forget not that for them to be Pharisees, nothing is lacking but power. My friends, I will not be mixed up and confounded with others. There are those who preach my doctrine of life and are at the same time preachers of equality and tarantulas. That they speak in favor of life, though they sit in their den, these poisonous spiders, and withdrawn from life, is because they would thereby do injury. To those would they thereby do injury who have power at present, for with those the preaching of death is still most at home. Were it otherwise, then would the tarantulas teach otherwise, and they themselves were the best maligners and heretic burners. With these preachers of equality will I not be mixed up and confounded. For thus speaketh justice unto me, men are not equal, and neither shall they become so. What would be my love to the Superman if I spake otherwise? On 1,000 bridges and piers shall they throng to the future, and always shall there be more war and inequality among them. Thus doth my great love make me speak. Inventors of figures and phantoms shall they be in their hostilities, and with those figures and phantoms shall they fight with each other, the supreme fight. Good and evil, and rich and poor, and high and low, and all names of values, weapons shall they be, and sounding signs that life must again and again surpass itself. Aloft will it build itself with columns and stairs, life itself into remote distances would it gaze, and out towards blissful beauties. Therefore doth it require elevation. And because it requireth elevation, therefore doth it require steps, and variants of steps and climbers. To rise striveth life, and in rising to surpass itself. Behold, my friends, here where the tarantula's den is, riseth aloft an ancient temple's ruins. Just behold it with enlightened eyes. Verily, he who here towered aloft his thoughts in stone knew as well as the wisest ones about the secret of life. That there is struggle and inequality, even in beauty, and war for power and supremacy, that doth he here teach us in the plainest parable. How divinely do vault and arch here contrast struggle, how with light and shade they strive against each other, the divinely striving ones. Thus, steadfast and beautiful, let us also be enemies, my friends. Divinely will we strive against one another. Alas, there hath the tarantula bit me myself, mine old enemy. Divinely steadfast and beautiful, it hath bit me on the finger. Punishment must there be, and justice, so thinketh it. Not gratuitously shall ye hear sing songs in honor of enmity. Yea, it hath revenge itself, and alas, now will it make my soul also dizzy with revenge. That I may not turn dizzy, however, bind me fast, my friends, to this pillar. Rather will I be a pillar saint than a whirl of vengeance. Verily, no cyclone or whirlwind is Zarathustra, and if he be a dancer, he is not at all a tarantula dancer. End quote. Historically, leftists have attacked the very concept of oikophilia, love of God, family, and country, claiming that it upholds arrogance and hostility towards multiculturalism. Allegedly, old stock Canadians hold everyone else in contempt and seek to expunge them or even commit genocide. The laughable absurdity of this argument has rendered it ineffective to their agenda of division and acrimony. Leftists were thus compelled to conjure demeaning labels by which to recast pro-Western sentiment as something vile and even dangerous. This is where terms like white supremacist and Christian nationalist were conceived. If they were at all authentic, then they might well echo the dangers of Nazi genocide or the mass slaughter that occurred during the Spanish Inquisition. Fomenting fears, such fears, furthers the leftist objectives of people like Justin Trudeau and Rachel Notley rather nicely. There's been a marked increase in the use of such phrases by leftist ideologues recently in this country and in Alberta particularly. It is thus imperative for us to look beyond leftist sanctimony, to focus instead upon the truly evil intentions of those who use these accusations to achieve political ends. They are clearly afraid that we have begun to weary of the leftist onslaught and the damage it has caused to our cherished institutions, impacting every aspect of our daily lives. As we increasingly awaken to this peril and its root causes, a nostalgia for the former greatness of our nation and our province is growing. Any longing to rehabilitate our nation from its current descent into moral and cultural depravity must be ruthlessly mocked by leftists. Ironically, the hate and subjugation of working-class Canadians and Albertans by our rulers are the very weapons which leftists use to empower themselves and trample the rights and freedoms of others. Just like Nietzsche's tarantula, it has ever been thus. As leftists, their entire Weltanschauung is premised upon the venal lies of Marxism. Facing this menacing pall as it overtakes our major institutions, we must all ponder what we can possibly do to prevent complete loss of our cherished rights, freedoms, and opportunities to live our lives in peace and liberty. Those of us who seek to live in a free and prosperous nation do not do so just for our own sakes, but also for those who stand to benefit from the rise of nationalism, irrespective of ethnic background or church affiliation. It was the noble Western ideals and the Judeo-Christian principles upon which it was founded that have provided the greatest good to so many generations of Canadians and Albertans. This is the very message that must resound throughout our land in defiance of leftists and their duplicitous malevolence, which is really just a reflection of the true hate and bigotry lurking within their own dark tarantulan souls. With the rise of political correctness and woke mentality, we are all less prosperous and free than in the past. Many of us raised in the 1970s and 80s grew up in an atmosphere of order and respect, and were happier and healthier for it. Freedom and prosperity entail acting and thinking independently without restriction or regimentation. But recent polling suggests that a large percentage of us now have little concept of freedom. Otherwise, we could not possibly support leftists like Trudeau and Notley, who are intent upon expanding the size and power of government. Too many of us have become content with the structure of identity politics, political correctness, and oxymoronic woke thinking. As Benjamin Franklin once famously quipped, "Any society that will give up a little liberty to gain a little security will deserve neither and lose both."